on VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Katie Weaver has a story on how Hanukkah is celebrated around the world. Gregory Stockel reports on a safer kind of fuel for nuclear-powered U.S. submarines. John Russell has a story on how the tech industry is divided over how to govern AI development. Later, Faith Perlow and Anna Mateo present the Everyday Grammar Lesson. But first,
Hanukkah is Judaism's Festival of Lights. On 8 straight nights, Jews come together with family and friends at the end of daylight to light one additional candle in the menorah. A menorah is a lamp or candle holder used in Jewish religious ceremonies. It usually has 8 branches, with a 9th place for the candle called shamash, from which all the other candles are lit. In Hebrew, Hanukkah means dedication. The holiday marks the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem about 2,500 years ago. That was the time a small group of Jewish fighters took it back from occupying foreign forces. The fighters found a very small supply of oil in the religious building, or temple, and used it to keep a menorah lit for 8 days. Their practice of lighting a nightly candle and cooking foods like potato pancakes called latkes serve to remember the event. The dates of the holiday are based on the Hebrew month of Kislev, which usually falls sometime in November or December in the Gregorian calendar. This year, Hanukkah is being celebrated from December 7th through December 15th. There are different branches of Judaism, like Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox. But they all celebrate the holiday by bringing light into the darkness and remembering that even a small and unlikely to succeed effort can make great change. The Talmud is Judaism's central religious book. Within it, there is a dispute over the order of lighting. But even with that dispute, most start with one candle and increase the lighting by one more candle each night while saying religious blessings. The candles are added from right to left, but lit from left to right on the menorah, thus always starting with the newest light. The tradition calls for candles with a real flame, but some also use electric ones in public areas, such as in hospitals, for safety reasons. A menorah is lit in each household and traditionally is placed where it can be seen from the outside, such as a doorway or near a window. It represents the spreading of God's light to all nations. The lighting of menorahs in city streets and public areas, like parks or areas of interest, has become more common in recent years in countries around the world. In addition to menorah lightings, giving money to those in need and social works are also part of the celebration for many. This comes out of the belief that the Jewish people are called by God to help make the world better for all. I'm Katie Weaver.
Documents show that a U.S. research program is making progress on its goal to use a safer kind of fuel for nuclear-powered Navy submarines and military ships. But the program's governmental financial support is at risk. The aim of the research is to change from using highly enriched uranium, which can be used to make bombs, to a safer choice. Since 2018, the U.S. government has been exploring how to use low-enriched fuel that cannot be used as an explosive in weapons. It is doing this to help decrease the proliferation risks of keeping stores of highly enriched uranium. Proliferation means a fast increase in the amount of something. Nuclear proliferation is the spread of nuclear weapons or materials that can be used to make nuclear weapons. The National Nuclear Security Administration, or NNSA, sent a report to the U.S. Congress last year. It said the research program progressed from a planning stage to an experimental campaign stage during the 2021 fiscal year. It added that early findings represent progress in what could be a 20 to 25 year design effort. The documents were recently seen by Reuters reporters. The issue of highly enriched uranium is critical because of a defense technology partnership between the U.S., Australia, and Britain. The $245 billion partnership, called AUKUS, permits the sale of U.S. nuclear-powered submarines. It also permits the sharing of nuclear propulsion technology with Australia. The partnership is an answer to China's growing power in the Indo-Pacific. Non-proliferation experts say sending submarines to Australia that use highly enriched uranium could lead to other countries using the fuel. The NNSA document said the low-enriched uranium fuel program seeks to meet certain U.S. Navy requirements. The document added that the fuel development process would be long and costly. Success, it said, is not guaranteed. The document also noted a 2016 report's findings that it could cost more than $1 billion to develop alternative fuel. That report also said low-enriched fuel would hurt reactor strength, ship costs, and operational effectiveness. The NNSA's 2022 report warned the costs could take away from the higher aim of non-proliferation and naval propulsion research and development. Still, head of the NNSA, Jill Ruby, said in the document she was pleased with progress the program has made in this difficult effort. NNSA did not immediately respond to questions about the documents when asked by Reuters. Congress has given the program $100 million since 2016, but governmental financial support is in question after a group in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives this year voted to stop it. The Senate has approved financial support, and the Senate and the House of Representatives are expected to work together to decide on any funding. Alan Cooperman is a professor at the University of Texas at Austin. He works at the Nuclear Proliferation Prevention Project. He has pushed the government to accept low-enriched uranium for Navy ships. Cooperman also looked at the documents from NNSA. He said the documents make three things clear. First, the program is very important in preventing the spread of nuclear weapons. Second, it is making quick progress. And third, it will go into use only if it can keep the current performance of U.S. Navy ships. He said the possible $1 billion cost for the fuel was small compared to trillions of dollars spent on all the Navy's nuclear ships. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Technology leaders have shown major support for laws to govern artificial intelligence use. At the same time, they are seeking to guarantee that any future AI rules work in their favor. The technology industry is increasingly divided about how to govern AI. One side supports an open science method to AI development. The other supports a closed method. Facebook parent Meta and IBM recently launched a new group called the AI Alliance. The group supports the open science method of AI development. On the other side are companies such as Google, Microsoft, and ChatGPT maker OpenAI. Safety is at the heart of the debate. But tech leaders are also arguing about who should profit from AI developments. The term open source comes from a common method of building software in which the code is widely available at no cost. Anyone can examine and make changes to it. Open source AI involves more than just code. Computer scientists differ on how to define open source. They say the identifications are dependent on which parts of the technology are publicly available and if there are restrictions on use. Some computer scientists use the term open science to describe the wider philosophy. IBM and Meta lead the AI Alliance. Members include Dell, Sony, chipmakers AMD and Intel, and several universities and smaller AI companies. The Alliance is coming together to say that the future of AI is going to be built on top of the open scientific exchange of ideas and on open innovation, including open source and open technologies, said Dario Gil of IBM. Gil made the comment in a discussion with the Associated Press. Part of the confusion about open source AI is that the company that built ChatGPT and the image generator DALL-E is called OpenAI, but its AI systems are closed. There are near-term and commercial incentives against open source, said Ilya Sutskaya, OpenAI's chief scientist and co-founder, in a video with Stanford University in April. But there is also a longer-term worry about the open development method. Sutskaya noted one worry is that an AI system with powerful abilities could be too dangerous to make available to the public. For example, he described a possible AI system that could learn how to start its own biological laboratory. Even current AI models present risks. They could create disinformation campaigns, for example, said David Evan Harris of the University of California, Berkeley. Such campaigns could disrupt democratic elections, he said. Open source is really great in so many dimensions of technology, but AI is different, Harris said. The Center for Humane Technology, a longtime critic of Meta's social media activities, is among the groups drawing attention to the risks of open source or leaked AI models. As long as there are no guardrails in place right now, it's just completely irresponsible to be deploying these models to the public, said the group's Camille Carlton. An increasingly public debate has appeared over the good and bad of using an open source method to AI development. Meta's chief AI scientist, Yann LeCun, this fall criticized OpenAI, Google, and Anthropic on social media for what he described as massive corporate lobbying. LeCun argues that the companies are trying to write rules in a way that help their high-performing AI models and could help them hold their power over the technology's development. The three companies, along with OpenAI's key partner Microsoft, have formed their own industry group called the Frontier Model Forum. LeCun said on X, formerly Twitter, openness is the only way to make AI platforms reflect the entirety of human knowledge and culture. For IBM, the dispute feeds into a much longer competition that began before the AI boom. IBM was an early supporter of the open-source Linux operating system in the 1990s. Chris Padilla leads IBM's International Government Affairs team. The companies are trying to raise fear about open-source innovation as they have in the past, he suggested. He added, I mean, this has been the Microsoft model for decades, right? They always opposed open source programs that could compete with Windows or Office. They're taking a similar approach here. I'm John Russell.
A few weeks ago, we asked our readers and listeners to describe their pets. We asked them to practice using multiple adjectives in a certain order. One reader, Maria from Argentina, wrote to us about her dog, Seferina. In this week's Everyday Grammar, we will review Maria's message describing her dog. And we will give some grammar suggestions.
I have 5 dogs, 3 cats, and 1 rooster. I love animals very much, but I am going to describe only one of them. My female dog called Seferina. She is a senior big dog. I meet her at the street. She was very ill and sad. Now is a cute dog. Her colors is black and her eyes brown. She is a friendly dog. She looks like brave, but she is lovely dog.
Let's start with the first 2 sentences.
I have 5 dogs, 3 cats, and 1 rooster. I love animals very much, but I am going to describe only one of them.
These 2 sentences are almost perfect. Maria uses number adjectives to describe how many pets she has. Maria has 9 pets total. She then says that she will only choose 1. We suggest adding my before animals, because Maria then refers to her animals as them in the second half of the sentence. The choice my is a more specific choice. We also suggest adding a comma before but to separate the 2 clauses.
I love my animals very much, but I am going to describe only one of them.
Let's move on to the next 2 sentences.
My female dog called Seferina. She is a senior big dog.
In the first sentence, Maria describes the gender of the dog. We recommend adding is before called. This is a passive sentence, so we must use a form of be plus the verb in the past participle form.
My female dog is called Seferina.
The next sentence has 2 adjectives, senior and big. This is where we should pay attention to the order of adjectives. When we use 2 or more adjectives from different categories, we must order them a certain way in the sentence. The order of adjective categories is as follows: quantity, opinion, size, age, shape or length, color, origin, material, and purpose. We recommend changing the order of the adjectives senior and big based on the order of adjectives rule. Size adjectives come before age adjectives.
She is a big senior dog.
Note that we do not need a comma between the adjectives because these are cumulative adjectives. In other words, they build on each other. They are from different adjective categories, so they cannot be separated by a comma. Let's look at the next 2 sentences.
I meet her at the street. She was very ill and sad. Now is a cute dog.
First, instead of meet, you can use the verb find to say that you first discovered or saw your dog. You should use the past tense of find because you are talking about a time in the past. Next, we suggest changing the preposition at to either the preposition in or on. In the street means that you found her in the middle of the street. In is used for talking about an enclosed space. On the street means that you found her somewhere along the street. On is used for general location. Maria did a great job separating the adjectives ill and sad with the conjunction and. These are opinion adjectives and carry equal importance in the sentence. This makes them coordinating adjectives. So we can use and or only a comma to separate them. We can also change their order and keep the same meaning. In the next sentence, we need a subject. We can use the pronoun she. We also suggest adding a comma after now.
I found her on the street. She was very ill and sad. Now she is a cute dog.
And finally, we have the last three sentences.
Her colors is black and her eyes brown. She is a friendly dog. She looks like brave, but she is lovely dog.
In the first sentence, we have some subject-verb agreement issues. Since Maria's dog is black, color can be singular. We need the verb are in the second half of that sentence to go after eyes.
Her color is black, and her eyes are brown.
Finally, in the last sentence, we suggest a different word for brave. We want another word that is the opposite of lovely. We could say that Seferina looks fierce, which is like brave and intense combined. We can also remove like, because we are not making a comparison, just a contrast. And finally, we need to add the indefinite article a before dog.
She looks fierce, but she is a lovely dog.
Today, we looked at Maria's message about her dog, Seferina. We talked about the order of adjectives, commas, and subject-verb agreement. We learned about coordinating and cumulative adjectives, and their connection to the order of adjectives. Thank you, Maria, for telling us about Seferina. We are happy she found such a loving home. I'm Faith Perlow.
And I'm Anna Mateo.
That was Faith Perlow with this week's Everyday Grammar. Welcome back to the show, Faith.
Thanks for having me back, Dan.
This week, you reviewed Maria's description of her dog.
That's right. To review, I asked Maria to use the order of adjectives to describe her pet.
I didn't even realize there was an order.
Most native speakers don't, Dan. But we know that when we hear adjectives out of order, the sentence sounds a little funny. For example, if I'm talking about my guinea pigs, and I say that they are young and large guinea pigs, that sounds a little off, doesn't it?
It should be that you have large young guinea pigs.
Exactly, Dan. Do you want to describe your cat?
Sure. My cat's name is Marlo. He is a large, round cat with black stripes. He's quite friendly and affectionate, but he gets a little angry when he's picked up. As you can see. Sorry, Marlo.
Oh, that's perfect. I really want to meet Marlo. He sounds like a super cool cat. Size adjectives come before shape adjectives, and color adjectives come after that. I notice you did not say large and round. You don't need a conjunction such as and, because these adjectives are cumulative. So they build description in different categories as they go.
I do use and with friendly and affectionate.
Yes, those are from the same category, opinion adjectives. So you use and or a comma to separate them. These are called coordinating adjectives.
Well, thanks, Faith, for sharing more about the order of adjectives and when to use commas and conjunctions with them.
You're welcome, Dan.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.